Good morning. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit is now in session.
Good morning. Before we start, Judge Bress and I again want to thank Judge Fitzwater from the Northern District of Texas for helping us out. Today we're going to hear one case, Lopez Luvian versus Garland. And Mr. Armand, you can begin whenever you're ready. And if you want to save time, please keep track of the clock.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Saad Ahmed, and I represent the petitioner Miguel Lopez Luvian in this petition for review from a summary removal order entered by the DHS under Section 241A5 of the Immigration and Nationality Act. DHS issued this removal order after the Board of Immigration Appeals terminated removal proceedings against Mr. Lopez on the ground that the notice to appear with the immigration court was improvidently issued because Mr. Lopez was subject to a prior exclusion order. This petition for review should be granted for three main reasons. First, the board violated the plain text of the regulations in terminating removal proceedings against Mr. Lopez because the existence of a prior exclusion order was not an automatic basis for termination. Second, the board's interpretation of the term improvidently issued notice to appear in the regulation was inconsistent with the board's own precedent and the Attorney General's recent case law. And third, the board abuses discretion in failing to consider any of the arguments Mr. Lopez raised in defending the immigration judge's decision on appeal.
Well, Mr. Ahmad, before you get there, I mean, there seems to be a substantial threshold question about whether we even have jurisdiction to review the dismissal of the removal proceedings, do we?
Your Honor, this court does have jurisdiction because under 8 U.S.C. 1252b9, all questions of law arising from a decision to remove an alien from the United States are in a petition for review from a final order of removal. There's no clear statement by Congress that jurisdiction does not exist. Jurisdiction exists in this court to review all questions of law and constitutional issues that alien brings in seeking review of a petition for review.
And, right, but you're challenging, I mean, your client is subject to a reinstatement order. What is the legal defect in that order?
Your Honor, the reinstatement order was contingent upon the immigration judge's decision to, the Board of Immigration decision to terminate removal proceedings against Mr. Lopez. Had those proceedings not terminated, reinstatement order would not have been enforced, would not even have been issued. So we believe that that's a threshold issue that the court must address, because if the board's decision is incorrect, then the reinstatement order should not even have been issued.
Well, what do you do with, you know, Alcala and Galindo Romero, those two decisions of our court?
Your Honor, those decisions, I believe, made clear that in reviewing a reinstatement order, the alien can bring whatever remedies the alien has, whatever arguments they have. In those two decisions, the reason why the court said that it lacked jurisdiction was because in those decisions, there was no reinstatement order. DHS never reinstated the prior order, and therefore, the court lacked jurisdiction, but in this case, DHS did reinstate a prior order, and therefore in reviewing that order, the court can look at all legal or constitutional issues. And—
Well, but I guess just to test that, I guess, I mean, here, when the removal proceedings were dismissed, that then obviously, I guess you could say, open the door to the removal order being reinstated, but it wasn't automatic. Something else had to be done in the interim. And I guess I question whether the logic of Alcala and Galindo Romero would suggest that we don't have jurisdiction here.
Your Honor,
we have jurisdiction over certain arguments. It's just not ones that you've raised, because you're not challenging, you're not saying there's a gross miscarriage of justice from the prior order. You're not saying that the reinstatement order was itself invalid. You're basically trying to go back in time to the dismissal of the prior removal proceedings.
Your Honor, the argument for review is stronger in this case than it would be even in those cases where this court looked at the prior order, because in this case, the petitioner, Mr. Lopez, is not challenging the prior exclusion order. He's challenging the dismissal of his removal proceedings, in which he was granted cancellation of removal by the immigration judge. And the issue is that if those proceedings were terminated unlawfully in violation of the regulations, then this court has jurisdiction to review them. I would like to point out
proceedings in a final order removal, they resulted in dismissal.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
I said those proceedings, the removal proceedings did not end in a final order of removal. They ended in a dismissal. But, and it's not clear to me that we can then review that.
Well, Your Honor, we believe that it would raise serious constitutional issues if there's no forum in which to review such a decision, because the Real ID Act requires that all questions of law that arise from a removal order or a decision or action by the DHS are reviewable in a petition for review. And the Supreme Court in St. Cyr clearly said that in the absence of a jurisdictional preclusion by Congress, this court has jurisdiction over those issues. And we believe that this court has jurisdiction because there's no other forum where the petitioner can seek review of that decision. And I'd like to point out that, as Justice Scalia used to say, that the text is law. Here the regulations require that certain rules be followed. Regulations require certain grounds that have to be met before immigration judge can terminate proceedings. And here the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals violated that plain text. The plain text of the regulations clearly say that there are certain grounds, such as the death of the alien or departure from the United States, that were grounds for dismissal of removal proceedings. But the regulations never said that dismissal is proper just because there was a prior exclusion order. So this is a violation of the regulations that we're talking about, Your Honor. We believe that the board rewrote the regulations in dismissing the proceedings. DHS never made an argument that it was acting on mistaken assumption or misleading information, or even made a considered choice in placing Mr. Lopez in removal proceedings in the first place. DHS made a decision to place Mr. Lopez in removal proceedings and later on filed a motion to dismiss on sole grounds that there was a prior removal order.
Let me just ask quickly on the jurisdictional question. Are you aware of any case that has held that a court has jurisdiction? Has any court of appeals addressed this specific issue?
No, Your Honor. There's no case law, to my knowledge, where the court of appeals addressed this issue. But we believe that the Real ID Act has opened up doors for these kind of decisions. Otherwise, government can violate the regulations, they can violate the statute, and there won't be a forum in which to seek review. Clearly, district court doesn't have jurisdiction over this case because this case arises from a decision to remove an alien from the United States. And St. Cyr and cases that came after St. Cyr, unless there's a specific statute that precludes jurisdiction, this court cannot presume that jurisdiction is lacking. Your Honor, the BIA decision also was inconsistent with the BIA's prior case law and the Attorney General's decision in matter of SOG, which came out subsequently. There are rules that need to be followed. This is a case about government accountability. The rules have to be followed, Your Honor, and we believe that for that reason, we ask this court, we request the court to invalidate the board's decision to terminate former proceedings against Mr. Lopez and reinstate the immigration judge's decision granting cancellation of removal to Mr. Lopez. And in the alternative, this case should at least be remanded to the board for clarification and for in order to address the arguments Mr. Lopez raised on appeal. I think I have 30 seconds. I may want to save that time for rebuttal, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll give you 2 minutes, after 2 minutes to for rebuttal. And Ms. Browning, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Rachel Browning, and I represent the respondent, the Attorney General. The only order properly before this court is the reinstatement order itself that became final on November 20th, 2018. The decision that petitioner is challenging, in effect, the board's termination of removal proceedings, is not a final order subject to review under 1252A1, as this court recognized in Galindo Romero. And what the court said in Galindo with respect to jurisdiction and finality is that once the reinstatement order is finalized, then the petitioner can seek whatever judicial remedies are afforded to him in reinstatement proceedings. And so then if the court looks to the reinstatement statute itself, the court's review, scope of review in that is exceedingly narrow, as it's recognized in numerous decisions. And what the statute says, that once the Attorney General finds a non-citizen has reentered the United States illegally and is subject to a prior order, that order is reinstated and the alien is not eligible to apply for relief and shall be removed at any time after reentry. To reinstate the order, an immigration officer first has to correctly identify the individual that's subject to the order, confirm that he was subject to a prior order of removal, and then whether he unlawfully entered the United States. Once those three factual predicates are satisfied, the agency is free to remove the individual.
Right, so counsel, you're right. There's no challenge to those points. There's no challenge to the prior order of removal. There's no argument under the gross miscarriage of justice doctrine. If anything, if there's space here, it's through our ability to review constitutional questions and questions of law. Does this meet that test?
It does not, Your Honor, for this reason. 1252A2D, to the extent that questions of law remain reviewable, constitutional claims, where the statute otherwise prevents review, is only confined to that subsection. As we point out in on page 12 of our brief, that limitation or that revesting of jurisdiction, if you will, under A2D does not apply to 1252 at large or any other provision of the act in which someone might be able to craft a colorable legal or constitutional claim. And I was not able to find a decision of the court addressing this specific issue, but if you look to Garcia de Rincon, the court said that, for instance, 1252A2D does not apply to the expedited removal proceedings, which also occur in 1252, but in a different provision, because that is separate and has its own limitations on review. And what we submit is that what the board did in its decision to terminate was, in fact, a discretionary exercise of its prosecutorial enforcement authority, which under 1252G is not reviewable.
Your opposing counsel says, well, this the reinstated removal order was in some sense contingent upon the dismissal of the removal proceedings. And there's case law saying you can review decisions that are contingent upon a prior decision. Is this contingency doctrine relevant here?
I'm not aware of any of any decision where the court has agreed to look at a discretionary determination made outside the scope of the reinstatement proceedings themselves. As you pointed out earlier, the petitioner is not challenging the prior order. He's not making a gross miscarriage of justice claim, any of those legal claims that have at least a tie-in to the three prongs of the reinstatement provision, right? So if you're challenging the order, prior order itself as no longer valid, then that draws it into 1252A1 and you can make a legal question out of that. This is not a legal question, a colorable legal question. He's asking the court to balance some discretionary factors that go into the agency's discretionary authority to institute, commence, and carry out removal proceedings in a particular way. What the court, and it would go against what this court said in Morales-Izquierdo, where the regulations themselves were being challenged as not being, as not affording sufficient process. And this court said that, no, the regulations are sufficient. And where the alien meets the factual predicates for restatement, he's not entitled to a hearing before a judge. So in effect, that's what he's asking for.
Go ahead, Judge Lee, I'm sorry.
So does this mean effectively there's no way to, there's no judicial review of a termination decision just as a practical matter?
Correct, not in this context, Your Honor. We're certainly not saying that the substance of a decision like that might not come before the court in another way. We're simply stating that in this context, as the court recognized in Galindo Romero, termination itself is not a final order. To the extent that an order becomes final for reinstatement purposes, what's reviewable is what's confined to that statute. The point of that is that with the reinstatement provisions, Congress wanted a streamlined process by which the agency could remove those individuals who'd already been removed. And for that reason, they're afforded only the process that Congress grants them in that statute. I've been thinking about this a lot, like, well, how would this come about, to answer your question? And the fact is that Congress doesn't want this is not part of what's meant to be reviewable, because these are discretionary enforcement-related decisions.
So just to follow up, though, sir, is the dismissal of a removal proceeding ever reviewable in any context?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is the dismissal of a removal proceeding ever reviewable?
I'm not aware of any. I mean, because it's basically an interlocutory decision. What Glenda Romero says is that when you have a termination, it doesn't result in an order. It results in the agency then having two different pathways, right? So in a lot of cases, so termination usually means that there's another process available. In this case, there's reinstatement. If a person is eligible for reinstatement, the order shall be reinstated. Another reason the agency might terminate formal removal proceedings could be because the individual is eligible for a form of relief, like a U visa, T visa, TPS, something that another agency can give them, and removal proceedings are no longer necessary. So, you know, the government's not going to get review of that decision. It's a decision of the agency, but it's not an order of removal. So termination rarely, because of the nature of what's happening and what the agency can then do, it in of itself is not an order of removal. And at least I could find no cases. Now, as I said before, there could be situations in which I believe the court, I found an unpublished decision from a few years ago. I don't know that I have it. I didn't cite it in my brief, where the termination issue came up within the context of a motion to reopen, a denial of a motion to reopen. The court made a statement like, assuming we have jurisdiction, you know, there was not an abuse of discretion sort of thing, but the court wasn't addressing the termination itself or what led to the termination. But no, otherwise I'm not aware of any case of any circuit court saying that a decision terminating proceedings is a final order under 1252A1. So just want to see if I covered everything. And the only other thing I'd wanted to say was with respect to the regulations themselves, they're permissive in terms of what the agency can do. ICE can reinstate if they have the factual predicates met, but the person in that situation is entitled to notice of that and a chance to make a statement. They're allowed to seek, obviously, withholding of removal. So it doesn't, don't read the regulations as saying something. I mean, you don't have to reach a decision that would say the regulations require the agency to do one thing or another in order to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction because of the nature of what petitioner is asking this court to do. So because this is not a final order and the decision that petitioner is asking the court to review is beyond the scope of the authority of the court's review, we would ask that you dismiss the petition for lack of jurisdiction.
Thank you. Mr. Ahmad, you'll have a couple minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, first of all, the decision to terminate is not a discretionary decision by DHS, because once removal proceedings are initiated, DHS lacks the authority to dismiss solely on prosecutorial discretion. That's what the judge found. That's what the regulation said. That's what the BIA prior case law also says. So that's the first question. And secondly, Your Honor, in cases where the Supreme Court, as well as this court, has found no jurisdiction over final orders, are those where the text of the statute barred jurisdiction, such as in the context of an expedited removal proceedings, such as in the context of cases like that? However, in this case, there's no bar to judicial review. And if there is no avenue where this decision can be challenged, it would raise serious constitutional questions. And Supreme Court has repeatedly said that there is a presumption favoring judicial review of agency actions. And in the absence of clear statement by Congress in a statute, jurisdiction to review exists. Your Honor, the regulations specify the grounds that DHS has to give in order to seek termination from an immigration judge after initiation of removal proceedings. We believe in this case, the clear language of the statute, the text of the statute required that, and the BIA violated those regulations in terminating removal proceedings because DHS did not provide a valid regulatory reason for seeking termination, Your Honor. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both for the helpful argument. We are adjourned for the day.
This court for this session stands adjourned.